What kind of a king is Jesus? We're celebrating today the feast of Christ the King, glorifying him and honoring him as our king. But what kind of a king is he? In the eyes of the world, we have different views of what this king, what his kingship might mean. For to some people, God is more of a pacifier, a consoler, someone who, when you're in trouble, when things are at their worst, when you have no recourse to anything else in your life, you turn to him, and then makes you feel better, helps you to be at ease, so that you can carry on with your own life. For some people, God is more of a prize giver. He's one who we carry on with our lives, we live our lives out, and if we live good enough lives that are worthy enough, then he's just kind of monitoring heaven and says, okay, you've done very good, so you get to come in. You didn't do so well, we're not going to let you in. Other people might see God as more of a dictator, one who rules over the world with an iron fist, who demands that we follow his will, follow his laws and his precepts. And if we don't follow every single rule that he has, then he's going to send us to hell, make us suffer in this life. These are some of the views that the world might have of what kind of king Jesus might be. And we can fall prey a little bit to some of these ideas as well. We can fall into a few of these traps ourselves. But the kind of the king that Jesus truly is a king of love. He is a king who rules over us not with an iron fist, but one who gives an invitation. An invitation. He calls us into his love. He calls us into his service. And so that's the kind of a king he is. He's one who already, he's not part of this world, but he already has total kingship and lordship over the whole universe. We might forget at times that Jesus created all things. God created everything. The very ground on which we stand, the pews on which we're sitting, this church in which we're enclosed right now, even our very bodies and souls, everything in this universe, in this world, is held together in the hands of God. He holds all things in existence. So much so that if God forgot, even for a moment, one little aspect of the world, one person in the world, they would cease to exist. They would cease to exist. God already holds all of creation in his hands, holds all things in existence. And so he already is king over everything. The first reading said that all languages, all nations, all peoples shall worship him, shall glorify him, shall serve him. All shall serve him. That's because he is king over everything. But as I said, he's not a king who forces his rule over us. Even though he holds our very lives in his hands, he gives us freedom. He gives us the complete freedom to choose what we want to do with our lives, to decide whether we want to serve him or whether we want to serve someone else or something else. Because we're made for service. We're made to give our lives to something or to someone. And so we can choose what we give our lives for or who we give our lives for. And God gives us the invitation to give our lives over for him. But we can choose to reject that. We can choose to serve ourselves. We can choose to serve the world. We can choose to serve an idea. We have that right to choose to serve whatever we want, but he gives us that invitation. One of the things that I find very interesting is trailblazers. Those people who are often an inspiration because they manage to forge a path, they blaze a trail in the world to follow their own desires, to follow their own will, and to show that, you know, I'm not going to let anything stand in my way. I'm going to go out there, I'm going to live my dream, and I'm going to make it happen. And sometimes, you know, we applaud these people, we celebrate these people and say, you know, what a good job. They didn't let anyone put them down, they didn't let anyone get in their way, and they did what they thought would make them happy. They did what they wanted to do. Bravo, bravo. But I sometimes feel kind of sad for people like that. Because what they have done is chosen to serve themselves. They've chosen to serve themselves and have not recognized the invitation from God. Because the real heroism is not in being able to conquer all odds and do what I want to do, but rather to allow God into my life, to put aside my will. There is nothing more challenging and heroic than to cast aside my own will for the will of God and say, I want to serve you, Lord. Because God does not want us to blaze a trail through the world to follow our own path, but he wants to blaze a trail in our hearts through us. Because when God penetrates the depths of our hearts, when we serve his will, we are able to accomplish far more than we could ever imagine. To blaze a far greater trail, because then it becomes God's trail, not our trail. And that's why I find people like Mother Teresa so inspiring. And we all know the amazing, wonderful things and how much she was able to accomplish. But it was not her, and she would testify to this. She did not accomplish all those things. She called herself the Lord's pencil. That he was the one who was writing her story. And she was merely that tool that allowed God to work through her. And that's the kind of the invitation God gives us. That's the kind of a king that Jesus is. Because when we hand over our lives and our will to him, as challenging though it may be, when we allow him to be Lord over our lives, to have total lordship over every aspect of our lives, we can do so much more than we could ever imagine, and we find greater joy, greater happiness, greater peace than anything we could ever imagine or accomplish on our own. Because he knows the plan he has created us for and what he has made us for. And so Jesus calls us towards inviting him to have that lordship over our lives. Because to follow our own will, to ignore the will of God, is to not be a Christian. I would dare say that if we do not seek out the will of God, then we cannot call ourselves Catholic. We cannot call ourselves Christian. This doesn't mean that we have to have it fully accomplished to call ourselves Christian, because, I mean, we're all on the way, we're all on the journey. But to seek the Lord's will, that should be our aim. The goal that we should have out there of what we should be aiming to do is to lay aside our life and to seek out the will of God and to persevere through those trials and those difficulties. That's the call of what it means to be Catholic. If you look at what Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. That was the calling that Jesus gave. And if we want to be disciples of God, we need to take up our crosses and follow him. He didn't say, follow your own way. Do what's easiest for you. Do your will. Follow me, he says. Follow me. And he also points to the challenge that that is by saying, pick up your cross. We don't see that as evidently today because we don't have crucifixions anymore. We don't see crucifixions. But for the disciples, when Jesus said these words, they would have seen all the time people being led to crucifixion, carrying the weight of that enormous cross all the way up, only to die, to suffer in the worst kind of way. How much that would have resonated with their hearts to think about that, to imagine that this is what Jesus asks us to do. But of course, it doesn't mean that to pick up your cross and follow him is all suffering. But rather, once we give over our will, we find the freedom, we find the joy, we find the peace. Things become easier because he also said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I know in my own life, and I wish I could more fully express the joy of what this is, but in my own life, in every aspect, every time that I've managed, even in a small way, to give over a part of my own will and to hand it over to God and say, Lord, I want to do your will. When I've truly been open, I have never been happier. I have never been more excited or at peace and wondered, why was I putting such obstacles before God? I mean, it was the same thing with becoming a priest. I didn't want to become a priest. I thought I would be miserable, and I think I've said this before to all of you, but I thought it would be a terrible life. How could I ever do something like that? But the moment that I let go and I said, I'm going to actually consider this way of life, I realized the hunger in my heart. I realized the joy that was found in pursuing this life. And so I want to invite you all today, right now, to join me in a short prayer, because I think we need to be reopen ourselves to that invitation from God, to have him as king in our lives. And so I invite you right now, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and you can close your eyes if you like, if that helps you, but I hope that you can pray this in the very depths of your heart. Allow it to have a real meaning. Because this is what Jesus desires for us. Lord our God, Almighty King of the universe, we praise and we glorify you, for you are a King who has not forced us to do anything, but gives the open invitation to our hearts to enter into your love, to receive your grace, to receive your mercy. And though we are sinners, though we have sinned and gone astray from you and chosen our own will, right now, O Lord, right here, we ask your forgiveness and we ask for the courage to lay aside our will. And we invite you, O Lord, into our hearts to have lordship, to have total lordship over our hearts, that you may be the King who rules in us, that we may no longer try to rule as King in our own lives, but the King may be you. O precious, beautiful, and loving Jesus, you are worthy of all of our praise. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You hold all things in your hands. Lord, we give you permission. We give you permission to do whatever you will in our lives, that we may serve your will and not our own. Break down, Lord, any walls that are held up for anyone here who is struggling to hand themselves over to you, is afraid of what making that leap might do, Lord Jesus, break down those walls in your name. Help us to be released over to you, to you, to your kingship, to your lordship, that you may be the King of our hearts. Amen.